This morning we're going to be reading out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I am actually going to go to, you can go ahead and turn that because I'm going to have our scripture Colossians 3, 1 through 4. It's a sister passage to that, and I'm going to read the white and you're going to read the yellow, right? Okay, here we go. Now, somehow I think everybody thought it was going to be 90 degrees out. And so they decided to take off for the mountains, and guess what? It's raining out there. All right. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Then you will also, or you and... also will appear with him in glory. I love that passage because it's a parallel to some of the things we're going to read. And I just want to point out a few things on this. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And we set our mind too much on the earth, don't we? And so he's telling us to set our mind on things above. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. And then when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I have a hard time because I know the old King James. And so it's hard for me to read that. So the bottom line is that our life is hidden in Christ. Now, what does hidden mean? He's keeping it a secret from guess who? Yeah, and one day he's coming back, and he's going to appear in all of his glory and take us to be with him. Now, I look at that, and I think, wow, that's incredible. We will appear with him in glory. You know, it's funny when we look at all these things where Christ is coming back. It's all about glory in there. But he's coming back, he's going to fulfill his promise that you see right there on the screen that's inspired by God. Amen? Okay, and so your life is hidden, and when he comes, he's going to come for you and I, and we are going to be with him forever. Now, I don't know how to say forever that you would get that kind of impact, but we're going to be with him forever. Isn't that going to be great? Out of this futility and into his arms forever. And in a remarkable appearance, when we talk about the glory, a remarkable, glory means splendor or remarkable appearance. And we're going to see, you remember, don't you, when Moses was up on the mountain and Moses said, God, can I see your glory? And kind of an arrogant question to ask. And so God says, I have mercy on who I'll have mercy. And he said, I'm going to show you my glory, but I'm going to keep my hand over your eyes until it's almost dissipated. Okay? So God walks past him, and he's in the cleft of the rock, and God has his hands over his eyes. And finally, he sees just the tail end of God's glory. And what happens to him? He goes down to the Israelites, and his face glows. And they get scared, so he has to wear a veil. And that's because his glory is so impactful that if we saw it in this body, it would kill us, instantly kill us, because his glory is so great. All right, so according to, so I want to read our next scripture, and that is in Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope. Okay, now this is our hope, right? Looking for the blessed hope and what? Glorious appearing of our great God. And you remember that in the Greek, it's called a Granville Sharp, and it should read this way. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God, who is the Savior, Jesus Christ. What is our hope? Christ's appearing. Man, you know, the reoccurring thing, theme of glory, this splendor and a remarkable appearance, at a point in time when Christ comes to fulfill his promise and come back to gather us in the heavens, and it says the clouds, and you know, I want to add this thing. When it says the clouds, we don't know if that means literally clouds or it just means the sky. But in Hebrews, the Hebrews author says, we have such a cloud of witnesses. And so it may be when he's saying he'll meet us in the clouds, he's talking about all the people that are coming out of heaven to get their bodies back. And we're going to read about that. And so he's going to gather us in the heaven, in the clouds, and Jesus Christ is going to take us to him forever. I'm going to keep pressing that point. Forever. In a remarkable appearance. And according to the passage in Titus, we will see all of his glory appearing in front of us. And like I said, it's not like Moses, because we wouldn't be able to stand it. But once our body's changed, we can take it. And I can't wait for that day, because I think even in the spiritual body we'll get, we'll probably still tremble like crazy, right? But we'll see all of his glory, because these bodies will be changed so that they can handle that glory. So I'm going to talk this morning about the rapture, the thing called a rapture, and it won't be that we are scared. Like one lady that I talked to one day, she called me on the phone, and she said, oh, I just wanted to hear your voice, because I went through the house and nobody's there, and I thought the rapture came, and I didn't get to go. I'm serious. I got that call. And so she was freaked, but we're not going to talk about that because that's not going to happen to us. Because you remember the promise. The promise is what? That our life is hidden in him, and when he appears, we will appear with him. And it's going to be because you ask Christ into your life as Lord and Savior, and he sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And then in 4:30 it says, in whom you were sealed to the day of redemption, which is the rapture that I'm going to talk about. And then in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and I thought twinkling of an eye, we don't use that so much, in the flash. Have you ever seen somebody where you see their eye and you see a little bit of a flash real quick of, maybe somebody connects with you, and well, that quickly, we will become the real thing. It won't be like now, where we struggle with all this, but we're going to be changed. We're going to have the same kind of body that Christ did, and when Christ's body changed, he could go to heaven, right? Because in his earthly body, he wouldn't be able to. Because he couldn't take it. And so he rises up again, and he has that new body, and we're going to get the same kind of body. Praise God, huh? Amen. It's going to look like this. Right? It'll be the real thing, and we're going to be swept off the earth. And I think we'll be thinking, finally, it's over, right? We get to taste real love and be able to endure it. And our stinking, weak, and pitiful faith will become a reality. And just as I said, read before in Colossians 4:4, when Christ, who is our life, then you. Now, I want to stop here for a minute, and if you're looking at your Bibles or you're looking up here, who is the our? Is that you? Here, let me stand down here, okay? It's our, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then he relegates it right down to you, okay? He says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you, now point to yourself, okay? Okay. You also will appear with him in glory, okay? Now, the reason I'm doing this, the reason I'm thinking of, because I know there's a certain section of you who know Christ and everything, and you think somehow your behavior is involved in keeping you out of what God's going to do. And the answer is you're wrong. Okay? He didn't base it on behavior, did he? How do we know that?
Because that's works.
That's works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God's pleasure, not our performance. And when Christ appears again, you and I will appear with him in this glory. That is the promise of God with the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Now, in my theology class on Saturday, a bunch of us get together and we're going through a theology book. And just this last week, we went over two basic ideas of what a covenant is, okay? A promise, a covenant. And what two, do I have any of my theological students in there? No. Okay. Oh, there we go. Okay, so what are the two styles of covenants?
Conditional and unconditional.
Okay, conditional and unconditional. Conditional is, if you do, then I will. Right? That's conditional. And if you don't do, then I won't. Okay, that's conditional. The second one is unconditional. I will, no matter what you do. Okay? So our salvation is which one?
Unconditional.
It was promised to us, and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so whether you like it or not, you're going to be flying in the air in the rapture. All right? Everybody following me so far? Okay. If you trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, then this next passage that I'm going to read applies to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And you may want to, even though it's going to be up there, you may want to look at it in your Bible and even mark a few things in there, okay? I want to explain Christ's coming for us, and actually I want to explain what God said this event is, and I want to talk about the physical participation and the emotional participation of this event called the rapture. Okay, so let's read it, and I'm going to start with the physical. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Now, I need to help you understand this. We're going to talk about souls and spirits, and then we're going to talk about bodies. Okay, so if Paul said dead on both of them, we'd be so confused we wouldn't know what the passage said. So he uses fallen asleep for those who've died and gone on to heaven, and their soul and spirit is with God, and he's going to bring those back with him. And then he uses dead for the body that's dead and buried. Everybody following me so far? Okay. All right, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, that's the soul and spirit versus the body, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again and did good works, oh, did I miss something there? Oh, okay, let me just scratch that out, okay. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him. Hey, this is a deity verse. Do you realize that? Because it's talking about Christ. Even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, which ones are they asleep? Souls and spirits. Okay. 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. And so that means it's inspired, right? That we who are alive and remain until the coming, and the word coming in this means presence. I like presence better. That we're going to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Isn't that going to be great? Right in the presence, okay? That we who are alive and remain to the coming or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ will by no means precede, no means go before those who are asleep, the souls and spirits. All right, now why? Because they've been waiting forever to get their bodies. We haven't. So God's going to go first with them, okay? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a what? A shout. With the voice of an archangel. And with the trumpet of God and the dead. Now, what's the dead? The body. In Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air to meet the Lord, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, I've said this before, and I think when we were in Colossians, we talked a little bit about the rapture. I just so hope I'm at a funeral and I'm burying somebody at the in the graveyard when this happens. Now, there's a lot of. I mean, I know that sounds weird, but I just want to see these bodies pop out of the ground. It may not work that way, but I, in my mind's eye, I see dirt shooting up 50 to 100 feet in the air as these bodies are going. Well, we're talking twinkling eyes. It's going to be pretty fast. But I'd love to be out there and think, thanks, God, for letting me see that. But who knows? Okay. All right. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, and now we come to the emotional part. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He's asking us to be comforted. We can't be comforted if we're scared, right?
Right.
And so the emotional thing is he wants us to take comfort in this because he's coming for us and nobody's going to stop him. Now, let's go to the next slide so I can explain it. Okay, so I've kind of drawn it out. It's kind of a funky drawing, but just bear with me. Okay. So Christ comes, okay, and we have the trumpet being blown and the archangel screams, and I've said this before too, I think he's going to scream your name, right? In Acts 2, when the disciples were there and tongues fell on them, they spoke in everybody's language at the same time, and they couldn't figure out how that worked, so it must be the heavenly language or the language before the Tower of Babel. And so the archangel's going to yell for you. Who's you? Okay. And me. And we're going to see the bodies go, but it's going to be so fast, and then all of a sudden we're going to be in the sky with a changed body, and we're going to be able to enter heaven because you can't do it in this flesh and blood. Right? We can't enter because it has sin in it, and so we can't. And so, thus shall we always be with the Lord. So, always is very similar to forever. Right? Okay. All right, so anyhow, you'll see, I put the little graves there, and so they'll go up first. These bodies will go up, and then they'll combine with the soul and spirit, and then we who are alive will go straight up, and we will be changed at that point. And by the time we get it in the clouds, we have the same body that Jesus is working with, that goes through, walks through doors, and does all kinds of things that are going to be a lot of fun. I mean, in our earthly thing, that sounds like a real fun, but it probably is going to be fun there too. the whole thing is when we have that perfect body, in Romans 8, Paul talks about how we groan in our spirits, eagerly waiting for the redemption of our bodies, the buyback of our bodies. And so at that point, we get it to let go. We don't have that feeling of groaning and waiting and struggle anymore. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15, 51. I want to look at that passage too. But all of a sudden the groaning stops and we become whole, we become healthy, we become perfect in God's eyes, and we're going to be like him. Wow, I'm telling you. Is that a good goal? Yeah. So when he says, so looking for that blessed hope, that is a blessed hope, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Okay, now I want to stop there for a second and help us understand that the second coming is a different thing than the rapture. Second coming was not a mystery. It was talked about in the Old and New Testament. The Jews are still waiting for Christ to come back the first time. They're going to find out it's the second. Okay? And Jews today, when we were in Israel, Deb and I went up to the Mount of Olives, and as we walked around the rim of the Mount of Olives, all the graves are pointing at the peak of the Mount of Olives. And their whole theory is, because I just want to tell you this instead of going to Scripture talking about it, the Jew so believes in the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, that when they're buried with their feet pointed right at the mountain. Why? Because they're going to resurrect and stand up. for the Christ. That's how much they believe it, okay? And so when he says, behold, I tell you a mystery, he's not talking about the second coming, because all of the world knows about the second coming. And Paul says in the previous verse to 15:51, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, because flesh and blood can't make it. It's got to be the new body. So 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. What does that mean again? Died, soul, and spirit, okay? But we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Here we go with the twinkle of the eye again, okay? A flash of an eye. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead, what's that?
Bodies.
Will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. No more death. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, where's your victory? Now, he says, oh, death, where's your sting? Here's a verse or two later, he says, the sting of death is sin. And so the problem is, because of our sin and because of the things that we don't do right and that kind of thing, when we get up to this point of dying, we get scared because we have that sin. Amen? You follow me so far? And so there's a certain sting of crossing over from death to life. And the more sin in your life, the more you don't want Christ to come back. Okay? The less sin in your life, the more you want Christ to come back. Do you realize that? Oh, gosh, how many times have you been in a place you shouldn't be, and you're thinking, oh, God, don't come right now. Right? Let me get this cleared up. Or whatever, I don't know what you say to yourself, you know. And so when there's no sin in your life, boy, it's like, come, Lord Jesus. But it doesn't feel that way when we have sin in our life. But whether we have sin in our life or don't have sin in our life, what did God promise? He's coming back for us.
Amen.
And it's going to be a done deal. So we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning together. And we thought it would be really neat with this passage. And it's the last, can you believe it's the last Sunday in March? Wow. Man, how time flies. And I think this is a great time for us to stop and think, and if the worship team would like to come back, come on back. But it's a time of celebration in which we can examine ourselves, because I'm going to read the communion passage, the Lord's Supper passage out of 1 Corinthians 11. But it's a time to examine ourselves, because it's not about missing the rapture. It's not about going to heaven. It's about where our heart is. And when we see these things and we see the grace of God, the manifold wisdom of God, he says in Peter says in 2 Peter 3:11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, thank God, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Isn't that true? Doesn't it force you to feel like, man, I want to just follow God. I want to act like him. I want to be like him. So when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't wait to see my faith become a reality. How about you?
I can't wait
either. Man. Oh, what a great day that's going to be. I feel like I'm in a waiting pattern. Do you? I'm waiting and waiting. Come on, come on, come on. And he's saying, hold off, hold off, hold off. Stevie, you're a little anxious. Okay. All right. So we're going to worship and sing, and there are two stations back on each side, and you know the, for most of you, you know the routine, but if you're new here, we have the bread and juice there, and if you're getting some for someone else, so it makes it a little easier and the lines don't get so long, and then come back, and when the song comes up, I'll come back up and we'll talk together, okay?